are back on Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Neil Weinberg, senior editor at Forbes. We've asked him to join us to explain exactly what former NASDAQ chief Bernie Madoff has done in building a $50 billion Ponzi scheme that has left thousands of people without their retirement savings. We also want to get his advice on how to avoid becoming victims of such a scheme later on down the road. And Neil, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Bernie Madoff had this sterling reputation, not only at NASDAQ, but for basically the entire life of this hedge fund that he was running here. What was the big draw, and why was it so hard for anyone, government regulators, regular investors, or anyone else, to figure out what was really going on?
Well, part of the problem seems to be Bernie Madoff's popularity. Obviously, the more trust you have in somebody as a person, the less critical you're likely to be of their specific activities. You know, if someone's walking down the street in a blue uniform, you're unlikely to think they're about to grab your purse. Likewise, in this case, I don't think it was so hard for people to uncover the wrongdoing that was going on. The problem was that people did not ask the critical questions.
And what should they have asked?
Well, what they should have asked was, first of all, how is he doing this? And he was, by all accounts, somewhat cryptic in what exactly he was doing. He was purportedly executing an options strategy, but when pushed to really explain it, he was want to come up with any details. And part of the exclusivity that he maintained was essentially to block out people who did ask too many questions. By all accounts, there were a number of people who did raise questions. One of them was whether he was running so much money that it would have been impossible, given the size of the option market, to even undertake the sort of strategy he claimed he was taking. These warnings made their way to the Securities and Exchange Commission, which is supposed to be the top cop for our securities industry, and they failed to do anything about it.
And of course, you've got thousands of investors, many of them quite wealthy, but many of them planning for a relatively comfortable retirement, in some cases having to start all over. So basically, this was a situation of, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. If someone approaches us now tomorrow looking for an investment opportunity, inviting us to be part of their strategy, what are the questions we should ask before even coming close to sending our money in?
Well, first of all, I think one of the key takeaways here is that affinity groups often encourage people to let their guard down. In other words, if you meet somebody who's a friend of a friend or who is a member of a club or is in some other way part of some association that you are affiliated with, don't assume that means that they're okay. You know, there's a good reason why con men often prey on people in churches, because people assume anyone they meet in church is going to be honest, and that's just not the case. Likewise, there's a reason that Bernie Madoff was preying on people at a country club, because that's where the money was, and those were the people who would believe him. So that is certainly one takeaway. Another one is, if someone is unwilling to explain in detail and show you in detail how they're making money, then I think you should walk away. And apparently some people did walk away because Madoff was unwilling to explain it, but obviously many others weren't so wise. A third thing I would say is avoid whatever is the sort of strategy du jour. Often you find that at any given time there is something that everyone is dying to get into, kind of like a nightclub with a velvet rope out front. And over the last few years, everyone's been dying to get into hedge funds and private equity because these guys were so smart and because their returns were so great. But obviously a lot of those returns were transitory or just outright fictitious. And so I think what investors should realize is there is no real substitute for long-term patient investing. If you want to get smart, if you want to get rich, try to get rich slowly, because getting rich quick is more likely to be a prescription for the poorhouse.
So in our last 30 seconds here, Neil, the best advice maybe to avoid these types of systems whatsoever. What if you're already in it? Can you pretty much follow the same advice you've already laid out, or are there other things you need to worry about?
Well, obviously, at this point, the lawyers are taking control of the Madoff scandal, but certainly one would think that Madoff Securities is not going to be forking over a whole lot of wealth to its former investors. So I would think that the people who are trying to get some sort of compensation are going to be looking at those with deep pockets, namely those who advise them to get in to these funds.
And so we'll keep following this incredible story of tremendous fraud. Neil, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you much.
Neil Weinberg is senior editor at Forbes magazine. That does it for this edition of Dateline Washington, a presentation of Radio America. A reminder to get the best of Dateline Washington on the web 24/7, dateline.radioamerica.org. Thanks to executive producer Jim Roberts, I'm Greg Corumbus. Please join me next time for Dateline Washington.